Amen. My wife wants to know why I told you that. Because if you see me scratching my chin, you'll know why. I picked something up 2 months ago. Doctor gave me some stuff for it. It cleared most of it up, and then as soon as I stopped taking the pills, it came back with a bang. So I may be disease infested, so you might not want to talk to me. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 14. That's not right. Hang on a second. I believe it's, is it 7 or? 2 Chronicles 7, 14. My apologies. Now, I know that you're familiar with the text, but just stick with me, if you would. The Lord, Sunday morning, as soon as I'm on my way home, the Lord gave me a great word for this Sunday. I'm extremely excited to preach. And so we're going to get where God's taking us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, will heal their land. And then verse 15 says, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. I would like to preach to you for a few moments tonight on the title, If You Want It. And hang with me. We'll get through this. They're going to have some food for you out there for one of the groups. I don't know what they're doing, but until then, we want to ask the Lord to help us today. And I believe Colin already prayed, didn't he? Yeah, he did pray. So you can be seated. Thank you. This is not a blanket promise. One of the gravest mistakes of the modern day church is that everything is looked at in just some blanket promise. And we don't look at some of the things that go along with those promises. And I'm going to explain it to you. Just kind of hang with me. And I understand that there are going to be those that will run right to, well, God doesn't, you know, ask us, and it's not by works and all that stuff. We're not talking about that. We're not saying that salvation comes through works, but the path to it does. And I'm going to explain it to you. So in this text, I've picked it apart before. He says, if. That's the first word. If my people. The second phrase is my people. So you need to understand that God's people are being given a promise here that they don't have just because they're God's people. Are you with me? He says, if my people, which are called by my name, the first thing you've got to do is humble yourself. Very difficult for me, for some reason, to try and help the church understand what humility is. But we can say that humility is not pride. So there's got to be humility in your walk with God. One simple example would be, you can't have too much pride to go to the altar and kneel down. You can't have too much pride to lift your voice and praise the Lord. That would mean that you're lacking humility. You can't have too much pride to say you're sorry. You cannot have too much pride to say, I'm wrong. You can't have too much pride to dig your feet in and die on a hill that you never even really built yourself just because it's all you'd ever heard and all you'd ever known. So if my people, which are called by my name, will first humble themselves. And then after you humble yourself, now you need to pray. Prayer and humility do not go just hand in hand. In order for our prayers to reach heaven, there are things You know that the Bible says that God heareth not sinners. That's a direct quote. Now, I don't want to take the time to explain it to you. I should take the time, but I don't really have the time to explain it. That doesn't mean that God doesn't hear us, but some things have to happen to move us from the realm of sinner to penitent before God hears us. We'll explain that. I mean, you're just going to have to hang with me and trust me on that. I just gave you the scripture. That's all I can do. And so in this text here, he says, if my people, you can't just go walking around beating your chest, I'm a child of God. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, you got to humble yourselves, and then you got to pray, and then you got to seek his face as well. You can't just say, now I lay me down to sleep. God, I need you to help me with my electric bill today. It's really bad, and I need a new job. And God, I need this, and God, I need that, and God, I need. But sometimes you got to seek him and say, but what do you require from me, God? Oftentimes our prayers do never make it to that third step. And they don't make it to the third step because there's never been humility. Only humility will cause you to seek the face of God. Everybody prays because prayer has become a Christmas list. But humility causes me to seek the face of God. Humility causes me to search the Word of God to see where the Word applies to my life in this, at this specific time or moment or situation of my life. Are you with me? I mean, don't forget that the road is narrow and the way to destruction is broad and few there be those that find it. That's the words of the Lord himself. And so that doesn't mean it's hard, but that means, of course, there's got to be some dying and some seeking and some hunger and some thirst. You know what I'm saying? So he said, then seek your face. Now, after you've done those things, after you've humbled yourself and after you've prayed and after you've sought his face, now you got to turn from your wicked ways. There's some things that you got to stop. The church has become very accustomed to continuing in the sinful lifestyle and not changing anything. And some churches, unfortunately, condone that. And they condone it by A, saying, well, your path is predestined, so God knows you're going to do it anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Your path is chosen by God, but it's not forced by God. You can deviate. But when there's sin or wickedness or unrighteousness in my life, I've got to deal with it. I can't keep showing up to service and not dealing with it. I cannot continue to go home. Listen to me. God's trying to move us somewhere. And you're going to get left behind if you don't move with us and what God is doing. That's the whole point of Brother Harpool coming. It will be prophetic, and it will be God-aligned, God-designed, and God-timed. So this isn't hard. Turning from your wicked ways is not hard. It's not hard just to stop living in sin. It's not hard when God is dealing with you and with sin in your life, not to condemn you, but to release you from it. And I understand that sin is desirable. And I understand that feeding the flesh is easy. I had eaten a bowl of cereal yesterday. I'm going to confess to you. And it was about 2.5 hours later. I accidentally found myself in Geneva. Yesterday. And I accidentally found myself in Geneva by Starbucks. And after I went through the drive-thru, I had this craving for a McDonald's sausage McMuffin with egg and cheese. And as God would have it, it was right across the street. That is not my fault. I did not position that way. And I began to reason within myself, and I thought, well, I ate 2.5 hours ago. So it's probably justifiable if I go through the drive-thru. Brother Vince is affirming that. Thank you. But as I'm going through the drive-thru, I debated, do I turn, do I not? Do I turn? I find out, what the heck? I turned in. And I thought, as I'm turning, I thought, if I change my mind, I can just drive around. But then the closer I got to that drive-through box, I didn't change my mind. And as I talked to myself, I said, you're not really hungry. You just are craving this sausage muffin with egg and cheese. And I have not eaten a lot of them lately, honey, just for the record. I did get it, though, because a free hash brown came with it with my code. What is my point? My point is, sometimes we desire things that we don't really need. We don't really want it, but we crave it. That's what happens with sin. It becomes a craving. And it's really hard to get control of once it becomes so integrated in our lives. And so as this word is going forward, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Listen to me. Your walk with God is at a dead stalemate if you don't turn from your wicked ways. If there are not things in your life that you know are not biblical, are not right, you'll stand there until you begin to go backwards and die. Because God doesn't keep anybody at the same place. He said, then, when you've done those four things, then I'll hear from heaven. Then will I hear. We become accustomed to not hearing from God and being okay with it. Well, God just doesn't, you know, want to answer this. And that's not entirely true. There are things that I'm convinced that God wants to do. But as I preached some time ago, but we're trying to run through the holy place into the holiest place. Bypass the candlesticks, bypass the shewbread, bypass the altar of incense, and just run in and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. It doesn't work that way. It's not the way the tabernacle is set up. The first thing in the tabernacle was the altar, because something has to die and blood has to be shed. So he says, then I'll hear from heaven, I will forgive your sins. That means if I've not done these things, that means that there's sin in my life that I am carrying, I'm living with. And it becomes a weight and it weighs me down until it begins to overwhelm me. And when I get overwhelmed, I begin to get frustrated and I begin to nitpick. Have you ever been just agitated over things in your life? And when you're agitated, it's easy to nitpick a lot of stuff. Listen to me, there are things in your life that you could easily move beyond if you didn't have sin weighing you down. And as I've said, I think I said this recently, if not it was said to somebody, just the very knowledge of knowing that you should be doing something but you're not doing it, the Bible says that is sin. Now the key is not to overburden the church. The key is God is saying, I want to do something for you. But there's a few things you have to do first. And then he says in verse 15 is the most telling. Now mine eyes shall be open. Or we could say this way, because this is the spirit of high. Then my eyes will be open, and then my ears will be attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Ask yourself this question. How many of my prayers go unattended by the Lord because I have not done any of the other things that God has asked of me? There's no humility. There's very little prayer. There's no turning from our wicked ways. But yet I'm waiting for God to do some great miracle in my life. And so the text is not a blanket promise. It's a promise that comes to pass with a desire to do all that God has asked. So there's got to be a desire. It's easy. If someone says to me, hey, I'm going to release you from your prison sentence, I'm going to say, great, what do I got to do? Just do A, B, and C. Not a problem. I'll do it. I don't want to go to prison. But because hell is so far removed from the very minds of society anymore, and it's not preached about because it's not popular, oftentimes we don't think about those things and we just continue in the life. And I don't mean this to sound unkind or insensitive, but then now that everybody dies, everybody gets angel's wings. Everybody. They got their angel's wings today. I thought, what the heck are you talking about? Angel's wings. Did you see the life that they lived? angels' wings. No, I'm not being judgmental. The Bible says judge with righteous judgment. And that's what I'm doing. I'm looking at that situation. But everybody gets angels' wings. Listen, as long as the adversary can convince us that everybody's going to heaven, we won't do anything to right our life. We won't do anything to cleanse us of the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. We won't do anything. We'll never be desired to please God, to seek God, because everybody's, but that's not what the word says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and narrow is the pathway that leads to life, and few there be those that find it. You see, that's New Testament stuff, so you can't tell me you're in the Old Testament here. And so what I'm saying is, this scripture is a carrot. If you want it, come and get it. If you want, it's not hard. It's not difficult. This is not works. Repentance is not works. Ceasing from my wicked ways is not works. No, that is me saying I want to live a lifestyle that's righteous, that pleases God, and I want to be holy as he is holy. And so there's got to be a desire. In 1 Samuel 30 and 8, and I did not give you this scripture, David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now you got to understand something in this text. All right, so you know, we know where it's at. It's during the time of Ziklag, and David's wives and children were taken captive, as well as the other men's wives, and David's distraught, and he seeks God. And he says, shall I pursue? God says, pursue. Now listen, you've got to understand. God doesn't just say, I stay right there. I'll fix it all. I can just drop them all dead, and I'll bring them all back. It's not a problem. God says, you're going to pursue. If you want it, pursue it. If you want it, pursue it. I'll give it to you, but you got to pursue it. Listen to me. He's saying you can't just sit there on the chair and say, well, if God wants to touch me, he'll come right back to me. He says, pursue it. You can't just be nonchalant with your prayer life and say, well, God loves me anyway, and he understands my situation. No, he says, pursue it. If you want it, pursue it. Pursue it. It's the same spirit of the text in 1 Chronicles chapter 7 that we just read. If you want it, the word pursue, it means to run after, to chase, or to hunt. Sounds a little bit like seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You mean God just don't do it? No, because he wants us to want it. He wants us to desire it. The difference between a common couple in society and a rapist is the couple wants to be with each other and they want the other to want them. The rapist just wants to take whatever they want. God does not want us just going and taking what we want. He wants there to be a desire to have this relationship with him. And I've been preaching about relationship. Pursue. Israel. Let me give you some highlights of what the journey looked like for Israel. Much will be repetitive, but I just want to lay this out for you. At the Red Sea, they were babies in the Lord. That was the symbolism. They just come out of Egypt, and they were babies in the Lord still. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You don't have to do much. When you're a brand new babe in the Lord, you don't have to do much. God knows we don't know. Am I going too slow for you? God knows where we are. He knows our spiritual infancy. And so God will just do. He'll step in and he'll do some things, or he'll use others in your life to help get you from point A to point B until you get to the point where now you start carrying the torch all by yourself. But there comes a time where that changes. And so, in this particular text, you don't have to do much. Just watch what God's going to do. And then they immediately, not long after this, they find themselves in the wilderness of Shur. Bible says they went 3 days and they found no water, and then they came to Marah. And you know the text. They complained. They said, you left us here to die. There's no water for us to drink. Now watch this. We know that God gave and already had a way out, but watch what the scripture says. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do all that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Now, this was after he already turned the water, the bitter water, sweet, and gave them to drink. Why? Because God is just, and God is kind, and God is merciful. And God will give you to drink. Every Sunday, God gives you to drink. But then he says, now listen, now I've quenched your thirst. Now I've given you a reason to go on. Now I've put strength back in your body and in your bones. Now you're going to have to hearken to the voice of God in your life. And you're going to have to do what's right in his sight. And when you do that, he'll give ear, or you have to give your ear to his commandments. Listen to me. We got to stop. We got to go to the word every time, every situation. What's the word say? What's the word say? What's the word say? Get over yourself. What's the word say? There is an answer to every single situation in the word of God. Every single situation. But we don't want it. We don't like it. It's too complicated. It doesn't fit with our flesh sometimes. And so we say, so after he gives them to drink, he says, now, you got to hearken to the voice of God. Do what's right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes. And then he says, and then I won't let any of these diseases that fell on the Egyptians fall on you. Now, you got to kind of catch that. What are we talking about diseases for, God? We don't say anything about disease. We just wanted some water. But see, without that covering, you're wide open. And you're no different than the rest of the heathen world. And you leave yourself open to things. I wish God would one day in this life, God would open our eyes and let us see the things that we're dealing with in our lives that we wouldn't have to deal with if we just listened to this scripture tonight. But everything's become normal. It's become common. Let's run to the doctors. Let's get some more pills. Throw some more drugs in our body. Let's see what they can do for me today. Because praying about is too hard. And living right is too hard. And doing what's right in God's eyes, so he'll heal my land, as he said to them in Chronicles. Then why heal their land? My home, my household, my mind, my life. Everything. God will do it all. He just says, pray, humble yourself, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. God says, I'll take care of everything else. That's about as easy of a deal as you can get. Don't get much better than that. It really doesn't. Yes, I don't care what anybody else. You have to forego and rid your life of some things. You've got to get some sin out of your life. You've got to stop hanging around some people in your life that are nothing but toxic and poison to you. You got to make changes so we can enjoy the blessings of God. Then they find themselves in the wilderness of sin. That's what it's called. No food. They start complaining. If there's one thing that people do well, is we complain very well. We complain very well. And so they begin to complain. And here's what God says. He says, I will rain. Watch, this is a powerful verse right here. It puts chills down my spine. I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So watch. So God fed them, just like he feeds us the word. Here you go. It's free. Don't cost you anything. Let's see if you'll walk in it. Let's see if you'll live it. I'll give you every tool you need. I'll give you the way of escape. I'll give you the way out. I'll give you the answer to every question. Let's see if you'll walk in it. That's powerful. God says, I'll feed them. No worries here. I'll give them bread in the morning and manna in the evening. I'll feed them, but I want to prove them. Do you actually mean that God tries to prove us? Oh, yes, you got to be here for Sunday's message. He does. He absolutely does. Absolutely does. Then they find themselves at Sinai, where the law and the tabernacle are given. We know what happens. The golden calf. They tell the assistant pastor, hey, pastor's gone. You're the man in charge now. Get up, make us a god. This would be the gods that bring us out of Egypt. He obviously wanted their approval so bad that he just did what they said. In Hebrew, because the Bible says, and I forgot to write this verse down, the scripture says that they were naked. And that doesn't mean they were unclothed. The Hebrew word translates and doesn't necessarily mean in a literal nakedness, but it carries a sense of being, watch, unrestrained, out of control, exposed, or uncovered. Their dancing around that golden god was because they were uncovered. Their covering was not there. He was up receiving the law from the Lord. And they abandoned their covering and they sought covering elsewhere. And they became like a bunch of fools dancing around this little golden god. Moses stood at the gate of the camp, the Bible says, and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. There's the action. All right, guys, big mistake. Dumb move. Not sure what y'all thinking, but number one, who wants to fix this? Come over here. And then we know 3,000 people were killed that day. And I've said this many times, but I'll say it again. Listen to me. Multiplication, addition, division, it's all part of the church. God will rid some people out of the church because they're not repentant and they're poison and they have no desire to go forward. Don't lament everybody that leaves the church. Sometimes he just fixed a big problem. And 3,000 people had to die. Why? Because they were not repentant. And God says, we can't go forward from this place with people who won't repent. I can't heal your land. Bless you. And so, next, the Lord says to Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you're stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do with thee. I really have always struggled with this one fact. If they already took half their golden earrings and chains off to make the golden calf, how much more do you have on you? But God said, get rid of all of it. What does that mean? That is a type of repentance. You can't come to the altar carrying all this pride and all this junk. It's not God's will that when we're on the platform, look at me, look at how I look, look at my new shoes, look at my necklace, look at my hair did, look at it all, look at me, you look so good, girl. There's no humility there. And that can go it can go a million miles. There's so much scripture I could talk to you about with that, but I won't get into it all right now. And so, last, so watch. So the series of events is Moses is getting the law. He's getting instructions for the tabernacle. They're down there dancing around this golden god. Moses comes down. Find them acting like a bunch of fools dancing around this thing. No covering in their life. He says, if you're on the Lord's side, come over here. 3,000, don't budge. Stubborn, stiff-necked. Then God tells them, you are stubborn and stiff-necked. So put off your ornaments so I can figure out what to do with you. Humble yourself so I can figure out how to respond here. And then Moses, watch. Now watch. I want to put this in context for you. I know I'm probably boring you a little bit, but then he takes the tabernacle, and this is the moment where he disassembles it. He carries it outside of Israel, and he sets it back up. 2.5 miles. I don't know how much time it took to disassemble it. I don't know how much time it took to carry it outside. And I don't know how much time it took to set it back up. What am I saying to you? If you want to fix this, it's going to require some things on your behalf. There are times in our life, and we're not doing good at this as a church in 2025. There are times and seasons in the church where it's not time to go out and have fun. It's not time to jump on the jet skis. There, I'll use my own self. It's not time to go golfing. It's not time to go party. It's not time to go on vacation. It's time to get a hold of God and see what God wants to do in the church.
It's time for a little repentance. It's time for a little humility. It's time to get our life back on track. It's time to put some things back into order. There are seasons. And in this season, it wasn't time just to try and move on. All right, you got the group that already repented. They stood by Moses. 3,000 died. God had already kind of chided them. Nobody asked Moses to take this tabernacle down and disassemble it and set it up outside of Israel, but he did, because he said, this is too deep for us. We can't go on like this. It's going to catch back up to us somewhere down the road. That's what happens when we try to go on without ridding ourselves or the church or our homes of things. It will come back to haunt us down the road. Moses was wise enough to know it. And then God shows up in the pillar of the cloud, and he wasn't satisfied with the move of the Holy Ghost. He said, this is all great, God, but I've got to know that you're still with us. I've got to know that we are still where you want us, and you can lead us where you are taking us when you brought us out of Egypt. And so you got to show me your glory if I'm going to be satisfied.
Powerful. Now God says, okay, take a hike up in the mountain. That's a whole lot of work, man. There are seasons. Right, listen, oh, God, help me. I'm trying to move quickly and get this done. Our world is so fast-paced. And technology, it's killing us. Phones are killing us. It's killing us. I see things that I don't want to say it. I just don't. I'm talking to myself first. Here's what I'm saying. This is a moment. This is a season. And this church is transitioning. And we're going to get with it or we're not. And that's not saying that we won't. But I am appealing to you. Look at your life and decide, next year I will not look the same way. God will do his part. He'll do what he's doing. But we have got to do what God wants us to do. And then after this, you have 12 spies. The Lord says, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. And so there are times in your life that God brings you to this point, and God says, look, everything I've said, it's coming to pass. You've came from there. You're here. There's more. We're going further. And God wants to just reveal his promises to us. But what do they do? Look at everything else but the promises of God. And their lack of faith condemned them. And they spent now 40 years wandering, a season of proving. God had to get rid of some of the doubters. 40 years. Could you imagine having to wait for 40 years for your next revival? I don't want to wait that long. I got a question for you. What prayers are you praying? What are you waiting for God to do in your life? I am here tonight in the Holy Ghost to tell you, God don't want you waiting any longer. But God is saying there's some things you need to do. And consecration is one of them. Tuesday night, I'm going to say this just flat out. It's going to show who's serious and who's not. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just being real. I'm just trying to be real. And then after that, you had the brazen serpent. They journeyed from Mount Hor, went by the Red Sea. The Bible says to compass, go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged. Why? Because of the way. Listen. I've always said, it's not church that ever discourages somebody and causes them to quit. It's the journey. And sometimes the way is just too long. I don't like this way, God. God, I don't understand why this is happening in my life. Of course you don't. But God does. He knows the way. And he's not even Mandalorian. Some people will get that. God knows the way. He knows what he's doing. Listen, hear me. I'm getting there. But listen, you will look back, if you stick with it, you'll look back on your life, and you'll be like, wow, ooh, man, I'm glad I didn't quit then wow, ooh, man, I'm glad I didn't just, you know, whatever, because now I look back and I see what God, what he's done. And what I thought was a punishment, what I thought was God forgot me, now I'm looking, I'm saying, wow, God was there every step of the way. He knew, and he was doing something that was what? As the scripture says, far too wonderful for me. I that's what Job said. He said, man, it was too wonderful for me. I uttered things that I didn't even know what I was saying. That's who we are. And we've all been there. God knows what he's doing. And so they were discouraged because of the way. I got a question for you. How many people here, don't raise your hand, you're discouraged because of the way tonight. You're discouraged because of where your life's at right now. You're discouraged because of things that have recently happened. You're discouraged because of the way. God, I don't understand. I don't see. Nothing's changing. Can you play for me? Nothing's changing, God. I've been praying about this. How much longer? I know you said, but how much longer? Stop. We get discouraged because of the way. How many people die in the wilderness before ever obtaining their promise? How many people? I've said this. You have to understand the typology. You have to understand the foreshadowing of the New Testament plan of salvation in the Exodus out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt. That's coming out of bondage. And they journeyed through the wilderness. They passed through the Red Sea. The Bible says it was a typology of water baptism. They were baptized unto Moses when they passed through the Red Sea. Water. The wilderness was a time of proving until they could get to their promise. What's the New Testament promise? It is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There are people that die without ever obtaining their promise. Why? Lack of faith, lack of humility, lack of repentance, lack of prayer. I don't know why. There's so many reasons. And they never bless you. Never obtaining all that God has for them. I wish I had the capability of painting a picture for you, no matter what age or stage you are at in life and your walk with God, to tell you that God has more. And he wants to do more, and he's trying to prepare us. That's where we're headed. And so they complained. They were discouraged because of the way. God got upset because they were discouraged. He got tired of their complaining. He sent fiery serpents, and they bit the people. Much people of Israel died, the Bible says. Some things in your life, folks, let's just admit it. Stop giving the devil credit. Some things God has let happen. He's tired of our complaining. He's tired of our lackadaisical approach to truth. He's tired of us not fixing the things that need to be fixed. And so God will send some things that'll sting a little bit. We just need to realize what it is. I could interview right now for a church out of state. I was even asked today. That would give me a salary of about $130,000-$140,000 a year. And so this is my resignation. I'm just kidding. And you know what I said? I said, listen, if as tempting as it is, if I went, whatever ship I got on, God would make sure there was a storm until somebody threw me overboard. And then there'd be a fish. And then there'd be some vomit involved. And then there'd be some whining on my behalf until God's will got done and I went back to where I was supposed to be. Thank God sometimes for some of those tribulation times, some of those seasons where we're trying to get out of the will of God and God's trying to keep us in the will of God. Thank God he's so kind and so merciful that he'll send some fiery serpents in your life and it'll hurt for a while. But guess what he does? He also creates a way of escape. And so the fiery serpent, the bronze staff with the serpent wrapped around it, look on this. It was a typology of, first, God's judgment, and second, God's mercy, all in the same breath. And he made a way for them. And so they could continue to move forward only after they looked on this. Then, of course, I'm almost done. The River Jordan, no more stand still. I know I'm repetitive about this, but it's important. No more stand still. Now you step forward first. When the priests step into the water, the overflowed plains, the flooded plains of Jordan, they could not see where they were. When they step, then I'll roll the waters back. Because you're going to come to a place in your life where God's going to tell you, you're going to step forward or I'm not going to do anything else. The same individual was telling me there was somebody, they did a capital campaign a couple years ago, raised a couple $1 million. They said that one person pledged $100,000. And he said that one person didn't give 5 cents. Here we are a couple years later. And so finally, I guess the pastor approached him before a pastor left and asked him about it. And they said, when God gives me the money, when God blesses me, I'm going to bless the church. That's not how faith works. That's not what a sacrificial offering is. You don't wait for God to give it before you do it. Listen to me. Hear me. God, I'm going to stand on a chair for a second. You are never going to experience God's blessings in financial prosperity of your life. And I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm saying God taking care of you. You're never going to experience that until you start tithing and you start giving first. You're waiting for God just to give you some financial windfall, and God's saying it's not happening. That's not the way faith works. This isn't the Red Sea. This is the Jordan River. You're going to cross over into your promise now. You've been here 40 years. You should have got some faith in that time, in that season of your life. And God's going to expect more. So he's going to expect a little movement in faith. Listen to me, hear me. In the Holy Ghost, God is speaking to some people, and he is saying to you right now, you're going to have to step forward in faith. Only you know what God has done in your life. Only you know how God has dealt with you. Only you know what God is requiring of you, but you're going to have to step forward in faith. Now, I'm telling you, I am knee-deep in the Holy Ghost, and this is going to lead right up to Brother Harpo because God is aligning everything. He hasn't told me one word of what he's got coming. Not one word. I don't know. I don't care. Then they get across the River Jordan. You got to step first. You got to do some things. You got to build it. You got to put some stone in the middle. You got to build a memorial there. And then when you get to Jericho, you got to march. And you got to keep marching. When you're tired, you got to keep marching. And when everybody's laughing at you, telling you you're crazy, you got to keep marching. I'll bring the walls down. Just don't stop marching. God, I'd rather just, you know, let me just, you know, how, can I pay anybody off to open up the gate? No, God says no, because you won't get it. And when you're done marching, I want you to blow the trumpets, then you're going to shout. Well, we're going to look silly. God don't care if you think you're going to look silly. You think God cares what people think when David rose, shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph? No. And then there was Ai. Completely different. Watch this. Jericho, obedience. Ai, sin. Stopped everything. You mean you can get me? You can get me through everything I just read. You can get me through out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, through the bitter waters, through no food till you sent manna. You can get me past that whole mess with the golden calf, and you can get us past these dingbat 10 spies that went out and sowed nothing but discord and confused everybody, and they were all whining. And you can get us past the brazen serpent, and you can get us through the River Jordan, and you can bring down the walls of Jericho. And now a little sin in my life is going to stop me from going another step forward? Absolutely. It's a journey. It's a journey. And not only would a little sin stop you, but it might stop some other people too. Now watch this. I'm coming to my conclusion. Repentance. You got to do it. Well, God just doesn't take care of all my problems? Nope, you got to repent. You got to repent. God wants you to change your life. He wants you to change your direction. And then water baptism. Except a man is born again of water and spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not works, it's obedience. You got to make the decision to get in that watery grave. You, only you, nobody else, just you. You make that choice. That's why it's powerful, because you made the choice. No one drug you, no one threw you, no one threw water on you. You decided. And then, God's promise. Then I'll fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, may they far off, even the Lord our God shall call. So the church, this church, right here, we're at a crossroads, and we're going forward. I hope everybody's a part of it. I do think God weed out a bunch of junk here a couple years ago. Thank the Lord for it. I love people with all my heart. But if you ain't, if you're not on board with what God is doing, hey, there's a lot of other churches around. Go find a different one. I don't mean that in a mean way. I really don't. I'm not saying that with a mean spirit. I'm saying I want to go forward. I want to see what God is doing. I'm not looking back. Not doing things the way we've done them before. Change. Every step brings a new crossroad. That was the journey that I just read to you. Every step brings a new challenge. Every step requires a new level of faith and obedience. Every single step, new expectations and new instructions. Instructions came with every step as well. And warnings came with every step. God will warn us. He'll caution us. Why? Because God is doing something. What am I here to tell you tonight? If you want it, go after it. If you're in the molly grubs right now, you're only going to stay there because you want to stay there or because you got too much pride not to stay there or to stay there, not to get out of it. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, humble, 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 humility. Sometimes the unwillingness to humble ourselves keeps us right where we are and prohibits God from doing anything else in our life. But God is going to do some exponential things in this church over the next 12 months that is going to position us and set us up for what God, I'm telling you, I am telling you in the Holy Ghost now, this church will not look the same in 12 months. We can't, because we cannot go into a building program and look the same way and be the same type of church. Only you can stop what God has for you. And I told someone today and last night, Satan does two things. He tries to sow confusion and fear to keep us from obtaining what God is trying to do. I got one more text to read and I'm done. Okay. 1 Corinthians 9:24. And I know I didn't give you that. You're doing a good job. Thank you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run. You want to win, you got to run. You got to keep running. Can't stop running. Run that ye may obtain. I'm here to tell you tonight, run. Keep running. Don't stop running. When you get tired, run. When you get weary, run. When you feel defeated, run. Come on, somebody. When you feel like quitting, keep running. For those of you that are tired of hearing this, then you can just close your ears for a couple minutes. But when I went to the police academy and I'm running and we had to run, I had to prepare myself for that final day where we had to do this right. We had to run this far, and I was in my 30, 31 years old, and I had to run this far in order to, and you can't, don't matter. You can go through the whole program, spend all that money, and if you don't finish that run, you cannot get your OPOTA certificate. And so I'd never run in my entire life. My entire life I'd never run. And so I started running. And then one day they had a practice run. And we're running. We're up at YSU and we're running around the track. I'm going to run for a minute. And I'm running. I felt like my lungs were bleeding. I'm not kidding you. And I'm passing up people. You know what they're doing, Sierra? They're just like, come here. And Natalie, you like me anyway. Natalie. It's an inside joke. And so they're walking, and they're just walking, talking. They're just talking. Here, come on, help her. You can walk and talk with her. You guys just walk around and talk, and you can talk. And so they're just walking, and I'm running. And I'm like, excuse me, I got to keep running. And I remember I passed some girls up talking. I said, listen, don't stop running. Just keep running, because if you stop now, you're teaching yourself how to handle the day of that test. I came in like 4 minutes over my time. I'm gasping, but I would not stop running. And I kept running, practicing. Come the day of the test, I came in, I don't know, a minute and a half under my time. Why? Because I taught myself, don't stop running. I'm going to tell somebody tonight, God, don't stop running. Stay in it. Keep running, because you don't know what God has in store for you. You don't know what He's preparing for you. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Just keep running. Just keep running. Run and go after the prize. Pursue it.
pursue what you want God to do in your life. Run that you may obtain.
And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. We're not running to get a trophy. We're not running to win money. We're running for an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm not just going through the motions, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was worried about backsliding. He said, I keep my body under subjection. While you're running, repent a little bit. Humble yourself. Don't be afraid to talk to God. Don't be afraid to pour out some of your most ugly things in your life. Don't be afraid of it, because God wants to liberate you and God wants to take you into a place you've never walked and journeyed before. And it will be unlike anything you've ever experienced, but you got to keep running. You've got to want it. You've got to want it. You've got to pursue it. Would you stand? And so, I don't know where this fits for you tonight. So I'm just going to end it this way. Who's ever got you all messed up, keep running, fix it, and keep going. Whatever spirit of discouragement or defeat you've been dealing with, keep running, keep running, keep running. Doesn't matter what yesterday was. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you think you failed God. Keep running. Keep running, keep running, keep running, keep running. Why? Because I want it. I want it. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. God is ready to open his ears and hear what some people want him to do in their life tonight. Oh, Lord Jesus, God, I praise you. I lift your name up on high in this place tonight. God, I acknowledge you as my everything and my all. Lord, I acknowledge that I have failed you more times than I would ever care to admit. But I'm going to keep running, God. I'm going to keep running. I'm going to keep marching. I'm going to strive for everything that you've got for me. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up, because over the next 12 months, I tell this church in the Holy Ghost, God is going to do things that we have never experienced. There was a promise years ago that I've still got written down. I'll share it with you Sunday. I'll remind you. Hallelujah. 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 Go ahead, if you would, and just cry out to him. Just pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give us the courage and the strength to keep running. God, to keep running. Keep running. I'm not quitting. I'm running. I'm forging ahead. I'm going to carry on. I'm going to keep on.
And I just want to sit here at your feet.
1 second. Brother Jonas, keep running. My mom would not want you to quit. She would want you to keep running and run faster than you've ever ran before. And you know that. And I know you're here for that reason. But don't let this season destroy you or defeat you. Keep running. Decide in your heart tonight, I'll keep running. I'm going to keep running. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep marching.
Hallelujah. I'm caught up in your presence. And I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not. not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. And more than anything that you can do, I just want you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. And more than anything that you can do, I just want you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. And more than anything that you can do, I just want you.
Brother Tyler, I wanted to finish that race more than anything in the world. I wanted, you know why? Because I wanted my prize. I wanted my certificate. I wanted it. Now, I found over the years, sometimes that desire is not the same. I got to go back and shake myself loose. I got to get my head right and remember why I started this journey in the first place. Because I wanted it. Everybody's here because you wanted it. You might not even have known everything that you wanted. And so I'm going to say one more time as they sing, one more time. As long as you want to sing, sing. If you want it, go get it. If you want it, if you want it, God has it. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah.
I'm sorry. And I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Sorry, and I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. And take me back to where we started. And I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. And I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want. wonderful blessings. 'Cause Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want you. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, 'cause nothing else will do, and I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. And I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. And I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. And I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. And I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. And I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. And I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. And I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I'm caught up in your presence, and I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want you. I'm caught up in your presence, and I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave.
I want this altar to stay as it is. I don't want people to feel like they got to go at all. So please, if you talk and you're done, just move to the back. They're going to put something on and let these folks just continue to pray. There's plenty of people here. Even if they want to just meditate in the Lord.